As we have been traveling around the USA, there's something that I've noticed which is different from times gone by. We've traveled over the last few years around the United States and Canada. But this particular time, one thing that stood out in my mind, particularly in California, in Monterey in specifically, is the ethnic mix, the actual mix of individuals from different ethnic backgrounds, and particularly the Mexican mix that seems to be highlighted, quite frankly, at this particular time. And it is a problem for the country, it's a problem for Manasseh. It was the demise of Rome. It was what actually led to the demise of Rome in the past. So when we look at the ethnic mix actually changing, and we look at a different people, quite frankly, arising, you can see that the Romans today, or the Italians today, are not the Romans of yesteryear. And if the time was to go on, you would find that the ethnic mix within the United States and then within Canada, within the UK, would be very, very different. Did you find in passages, let's turn over to Deuteronomy 28 initially, Deuteronomy 28, because when you look at this particular passage in Deuteronomy 28, which deals with the blessings and also the cursings, you'll find that when the stranger rises up, it is labeled as a curse. It is something that is a curse to the country. And yet, you find other passages within Deuteronomy, you put it in your notes, passages such as Deuteronomy 10, verse 18 and 19, where we're actually commanded to love the stranger. We're told to love the stranger. So on the one hand, you're told to love the stranger because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And on the other hand, when you come here to Deuteronomy 28, and if you notice in verse 15, it says, "But it'll come to pass that if you will not listen to the voice of the Eternal your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." So actually being disobedient to God brings the curses. That's what he's saying here. And if you turn over to verse 43 here, you find that the stranger, this is one of the curses, the stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. And he shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you, and shall pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you didn't listen to the voice of the Eternal your God to keep his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded you. So on the one hand, you've got this fact that you should love the stranger, and you shouldn't persecute the stranger. And yet, on the other hand, having strangers within the Israel was a curse. So the question really is, what are the laws that govern strangers that will give the blessings? What are the laws that you find within the Old Testament that would, as far as Israel was concerned, that would give the blessings that would stop strangers being a curse? Because strangers should not be a curse. If you're loving the stranger, then they're obviously there. You know, God recognizes that they're there and asks you to and tells us to treat them accordingly. So what are God's laws? What are the specific laws that would actually protect the Israelite tribes and protect the Israelite ethnic mix that we see today being eroded? What's going wrong? What is actually happening? What are the laws that are being broken that actually lead to this? Well, one of the main ones is that you cannot sell the land. That's one of the laws in Israel. Now, if you turn back with me to Leviticus for chapter 25. So go back to Leviticus 25. And this is one of the laws that have been mentioned over in the curses, which are being broken, that then leads to the curses, including the fact that strangers will get very high within the land. Because as the strangers multiply, and they do tend to multiply faster than the indigenous population, so you're going to get more and more of a problem because you've got democracy. And democracy will therefore give them a progressively bigger and bigger share of the vote. So you're going in a direction which is wrong. But here in Leviticus 25, there is a specific laws mentioned here, and in verse, pick it up in verse 13, it says, "In the year of the Jubilee, you return every man to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy anything of your neighbor's hand, you shall not oppress one another." He's talking about selling land or selling the actual access to land. "According to the number of the years of after the Jubilee you'll buy of your neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits he shall sell to you, according to the multitude of years you shall increase the price, and according to the fewness of years you shall diminish the price of it, for according to the number of the years of the fruits does he sell it to you. You shall not therefore oppress one another, but you'll fear your God. I am the eternal your God. So one of the key laws that will regulate how a stranger is able to progress or not progress will be the fact that the land itself is not for sale. You see that also clearly in just a few verses down. It says in verse 23, the land shall not be sold, it says forever, for the land is mine. In other words, you're renting the land. You rent the land to the Jubilee. The land is not for sale. Now, what happens in today's Ephraim and Manasseh is anything but. The land is for sale. The stranger can buy the land. They can therefore use the land in an oppressive way. And you don't have the families tied to the land at all. And it says, for all the land of your possession, you shall grant a redemption of the land. The entire land. Now it goes on and explains that within the big cities, you can actually buy land. And the stranger would be able to buy within the big cities. But the land itself, you wouldn't get the big corporations. You wouldn't have the huge corporations that would, let's say, McDonald's or some of these other corporations owning the land. And therefore, it would put a brake on the actual stranger from gaining precedence within the land of Israel. This is one of the laws that, if you like, you find being broken and leading to the problems and the curses that you find as far as the stranger is concerned within the land of Israel. Another related law that you could say is linked to this as well is what actually happens to the land anyway. And that what happens to the land is it's owned by families, and they are Israelite families. Now, the stranger would presumably own land also, but it would be in his country under God's system. So you get this delineation, you get this separation within the land because of the land itself, because of the ownership of the land. Turn over to Joshua chapter 15. Joshua chapter 15. And we'll see that when they actually went into the land, we find this fundamental point that the land is going to be divided by the families. Here in Joshua 15, verse 1, it says, then this was the lot of the tribe of the children of Judah by their families, even to the border of Edom, the wilderness of Zin. Southward was the uttermost part of the south coast. So it was by the children of Judah by their families. And it is immediately coming on to chapter 15, verse 1, is from the incident in chapter 14, which is to do with Caleb. And we find here in verse 6 of chapter 14, how the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kezadite, said unto him, you know the thing that the Eternal said to Moses and the man of God concerning me and you in Kadesh Barnea. So here was Caleb coming to Joshua saying, now remember what God actually said. He said that when the land on which your feet were, it goes on, he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Eternal, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and brought him word again as to what was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Eternal my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance. So here was where the land, you know, who was it that inherited the land? It was by the families. It was by the families within the tribes. And the families within the tribes, and we can see this particular incident as far as Caleb was concerned, it was the land of Hebron. It was actually a hill of Hebron, and he owned the entire hill because there was the Anakim, remember the giants in the time, and he was the one, if you go and read this account here, you'll find that he was the one that actually came up against the Anakim, that came up against the giants, and he was the one also that went back with a report saying, look, God is being with us, we can go ahead and defeat these guys. And he therefore brought this faith-filled report back, and he therefore was granted this particular land. But it was granted to his family. He, as the head of the family, and he here was 85 years old, and he reckoned that he was going to go ahead and be able to defeat these individuals. But this was something that would actually counter against the stranger gaining precedence within the land, because the land itself was owned by families. Now, what do we find today? We find the families themselves are under attack. We find same-sex marriages, which are going nowhere. How can you have a same-sex marriage within this kind of framework that is given? You find the fact that the families were actually tied to the land, and this was all part of God's law. Now you depart from that law, you start going down the route that we find the countries going down today in areas such as same-sex marriages and other areas as well, and it is divorcing the families from the land. It is therefore enabling the stranger to gain access to that land, and the stranger therefore to rise. And these are some of the specific laws that you find within God's law that would actually protect Israel. And it's not just Israel that's protected, it's also the stranger themselves, because the stranger himself would have land back in his area. So when we're looking into the millennium, you're going to find that this something along these lines, some principles along these lines, are going to protect the people and allow them to be protected in that way. Now, the other point that you can put, you can put many points down as to how the stranger and the people, the indigenous people, are protected in the right way. You can go into God's law and see many areas. But another area that is linked to this subject of the land being not sold ever, but actually owned by the families, is the fact that it's a father-based society. A father-based society. Now, we look at one final scripture then in Numbers. Go back to Numbers chapter 36. Now, you'll find in Numbers, when earlier on in Numbers, you find that the daughters of Zelophehad came up to Moses and said, "Look, our fathers had no sons. Therefore, our father's name is going to be wiped out within the tribe of Israel." And he said, God himself, Jesus Christ himself, said, "Look, no, we should go ahead and give it to the daughters of Zelophehad, or anywhere where there are no sons to inherit the land, it should go to the daughters." But what happened at the end, right at the very end of Numbers, here in Numbers 36, is that the people, the men of the tribe that Zelophehad was part of, said, "Look, this is going to be a problem, because it will actually come out of the..." this is actually of Manasseh as well. It says, "And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spoke before Moses." So here he's saying, look, what will happen is if these girls marry outside the tribe, then the land that they will inherit will go to another tribe. So not only was it a case that it was going to be owned by the families, but it was going to remain within the tribes themselves. So again, you see the God's mind at work here, and God's mind how the land itself is tied to the families and tied within the tribes to the families as well. And these are the kinds of laws that will protect the stranger, will also protect the tribes themselves. And it says here that in verse 3, "And if he be married to any of the sons of other tribes of the children of Israel, then their inheritance shall be taken from the inheritance of our fathers, and be put to the inheritance of the tribe in which they are received. So it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance." But anyway, doing this, tying the inheritance not only to the tribe, not only to the family, but in a male-dominated way to the family, it gives the male of the species something to work towards. You know, you find scriptures such as in Hebrews 12 and verse 16, it talks about Esau, how he despised his birthright, and it's likened to fornication. And it will stop the kind of ideas of, you know, the idea of sperm donors that you find these days, who are spreading their sperm around, and therefore their children, by different people across the nation. And that would therefore be stopped, because they would give them the focus and give them something which would be worked towards, and give them roots to put down in a particular area tied to the land. And these are the laws that actually protect, it'll protect the families, yes, but it'll also protect Israel itself, and it'll also protect the stranger. Today we find a matriarchal society, largely. It's matriarchal based and biased. And it's also, you find the law courts, you know, channeling people in that direction. But that's not the God's way. And so here we see the breaking of God's law, the going in a direction which is against the way of God, that leads to the problems. Oh, one of which is where the stranger will rise very, very high above us. You know, when you look at the subject, and this is just one subject, and these are only three points that I brought out. But when you look at the subject, is really part of learning not the way of the heathen. Really? So often we look at this and we see that learn not the way of the heathen means that we don't go ahead and follow their pagan customs and worship foreign gods. But it's not just that. It's the way of life. It's the way of life that you find within this book, contrasted to the way of life that you find within the nations around us. And if you go to somewhere like India, you'll find there that people will be in slavery to other people, not just merely for their lifetime, but their slavery is then passed on, their debts are passed on to their progeny, and it goes down through the generations. They remain slaves, never able to get out from underneath the slavery of the oppression that is there. That way of thinking is being transferred into Israelite lands today, and that's where this is coming from. So you've got the stranger rising very high, taking his ideas with him as well. And all we have to do, and we'll have to actually teach in the world tomorrow, is the fact that applying God's law, applying God's way of thinking, applying God's mindset, even to this area of strangers, gets the balance right between strangers and loving the stranger, as we were strangers in the last lands of Egypt, and yet not having the stranger dominate in such a way so it actually starts taking over the entire land, because the land is actually owned by the people. And it's all part of protecting Israel and also protecting other nations as well. And it's all part of each man living under his own vine and fig tree.